Join I and Garlic as we uncover the hidden marketing stories that shape our world, reveal the latest marketing tactics that will shape your future, and the amazing people that grow organizations, movements, and businesses. Learn to grow your business and shape the world around you. Welcome to the Garlic Marketing Show with Ian Garlic. And yes, it's Ian, not Ian. That's marketing too.
All right, we're going to talk AI and B2B marketing and sales in this. I've got Nathan Schlafer from Marketing Mate. Nathan, say hi.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And we're going to talk about how one SaaS company generated all their marketing materials in an hour using AI, the key to making AI not generic. Where people go wrong with prompts, the lie of the war chest of prompts and what you should do, and now you need to flip that idea. The biggest dangers of AI in your marketing, and how to prevent AI from making stuff up and hallucinating. All this on the Garlic Marketing Show. But of course, if you want to really supercharge your AI, supercharge all of your marketing campaigns, you can be listening to your customers. We're talking about that. We'll be talking about that in the show. Go to videocasestory.com and where we can teach you how to collect, craft, and deliver those video case stories. We can help you with it and get your free tackle box, the free strategy documents that will help you to craft this at videocasestory.com/GMS tackle. That's videocasestory.com/GMS tackle. All right, let's get started.
My name is Gino Wickman. I was introduced to Ian, and that's what brought me into this video world and got me embracing this video world. And Ian did exactly what I hoped. He got me really comfortable with putting videos out to the world. And having a great strategy around putting videos out to the world, because there's so much more than just shooting a video. And so the way that he positions those videos, optimizes those videos, he's done a great job.
All right. So Nathan, tell me a little bit about your journey to getting AI into B2B. And then I want to get into what's working right now.
Yeah, my co-founder, Dave, and I started out in marketing for about a decade at tech companies, and we kept encountering some of the same challenges over and over again. One is, as we're building marketing campaigns, building the buyer personas, really understanding their pain points, understanding what motivates them and their unique language and vernacular. The second challenge is consistent messaging, is especially in larger organizations, you have a sales team and a marketing team. And for B2B sales and marketing specifically, aligning on the same message is really important so that customers, one, it resonates with your target market. They understand that you can articulate their needs and how your solution solves their problem. And the third thing is sales enablement. So one of the challenges as well is, hey, you have a new seller. They don't know your target market. They don't know your messaging or your product. How do you onboard them quickly? So we really built the world's first AI platform that could understand your B2B buyer personas. What are their pain points? What are their motivations? And then essentially personalize content at scale so that you can resonate with them and help your sales team onboard faster by helping them with writing prospect emails, helping them generate good qualifying questions, helping them create sales pitches that are persuasive and resonate with your audience. So we like to describe ourselves as like ChatGPT, but trained for B2B.
I love it. And it's so powerful, but I think it's so powerful, but so easy to not work that people try it out, it doesn't work, and then they let it go by the wayside. Creating content, all that stuff, it's awesome. What are the highest, fastest leverage points to get B2B marketing, or to get B2B marketing and sales working using AI?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest leverage points is really looking at a holistic approach across sales and marketing. One of the challenges is marketers use AI for different reasons than sales. So marketing uses it for copywriting, uses it to create ad copy, to generate creative ideas. For sales, they might use it for drafting a prospect email or generating a creative pitch or angle for someone based on their LinkedIn profile. One of the keys and leverage points to really get strong alignment between marketing and sales is really having a holistic platform that addresses all of the things marketing needs to do and all of the things sales needs to do with AI. And from our approach, we created this framework called the LEAD buyer-centric framework. And it's basically a four-step framework. It spells an acronym LEAD. We start by training an AI model on your buyer persona so it understands their pain points, their language, your customer language. Then we train the AI model and use it to enrich your messaging. So create product positioning, what differentiates your brand or service versus your competitors. And then afterwards, with that foundational knowledge, the next part of the lead framework is automate content at scale. So we use it to create sales one-pagers. We use it to create press releases. We use it to create blogs and ads for Google and Bing. The difference is the AI has that foundational knowledge of your buyer personas, of their needs, of your customer language, of your messaging. So now the content is going to resonate with your audience. It's different than just using a ChatGPT or a Google Bard or a Cloud AI or some of these other large language models, and that it's personalized and tailor-made for your audience.
Nice. And it's everything, right? Because there's so much noise out there. It needs to be personalized and personalized and personalized. Where you start personalizing it and personalizing it, tell me about some of the successes that you've seen. Who's done some really cool stuff and gotten some successes?
Yeah, so one of the companies we worked with was a company called Player Zero, and they do basically product intelligence or release management software. So you might have, you know, a product management team. They want to release a new feature for a software company. They would use Player Zero to basically do that. One of the things that they were struggling with is they had a time pressure to launch a product, as many software companies do. And they had to create a press release. They had to, you know, create some ads to promote the product on LinkedIn. So they used our software to basically craft a value proposition for their product, for Player Zero, create a buyer persona for Victor, the VP of product, who's essentially who they're targeting with the software. And then afterwards, they used MarketMate to basically generate all of their go-to-market assets, their press release, their ads, in 20 minutes. And previously, just from experience developing some of this product collateral for new product launches, it could take months, you know, weeks developing the first draft, weeks refining the content. In one session with me, we were able to churn out a campaign's worth of content in less than an hour. So that's really the power, I think, is helping people do more with less, especially as marketing budgets are getting cut. Personnel is scaling back after the pandemic when people hired a lot of people and they're realizing demand is settling down. Having AI enabling them to do more with less could be a game changer.
That it is. It is. And so what are some of the other ways you talk about, like creating a marketing campaign? What are some of the little nuanced things that you're seeing people do that's really helping them to leverage this and get in front of people faster, close deals faster, get proposals out faster?
Yeah. So I think one of the nuances is really not the availability of the tools for crafting generic emails, which I think everyone kind of uses day to day.
And you can tell. But
you can tell because they all sound the same. You know, I got one email the other day that said, "Hello, sir, madame/madame." No personalization. But one of the things is starting with your audience, really being able to train the AI model on what is it about your buyer persona is a pain point. What frameworks are you using for your prospect emails? One of the things that we do is we create a template on the back end. Is like, hey, this is what a typical prospect email sequence looks like. So giving that knowledge to the AI, it's, hey, this is the format, here's your audience, and then here's your value proposition. This is what differentiates your solution and some of the key benefits and features. Without that knowledge, AI just sounds generic. And that was something that my colleague and I experienced all the time is like, you need to give the proper inputs to the AI so it really understands your audience and can really resonate with them, with your output. So that's a suggestion, nuances, really train it on your buyer personas, on your value proposition.
And still, I feel like it can still come out generic and people get lazy. You know, what do you think, how can people make sure that they're leveraging this as much as possible, but still keeping the human aspect in it? Where do you absolutely positively need to be installing a human at the point in this marketing generation?
I think 100% throughout the review process is before you publish any content, always have a human reviewing and looking for that some of those errors. And sometimes one of the limitations of AI is hallucination. Is when we started experimenting at MarketMate with AI, we would realize it would make up case studies, right? And that's not necessarily a good thing. So one of the things that you can do, and I think this is the wrong direction that a lot of marketers are taking, is they're hoarding a bunch of prompts and saying, if I can have my war chest of prompts, I could create all these different outputs. Instead, you really want to rely on a platform that has all the prompts for you on the back end. And let me give you an example for that. So with MarketMate, we have, when you're building a buyer persona, we have an input: describe your product or service, describe your customer pain points, describe your product or solution. So then it creates that buyer persona on the back end, so you don't have to do any prompting. So I think how we see it, which is a little bit differently, is rather than teaching a human how to prompt, teach the AI your knowledge and then have the AI do all the prompting on the back end, your content for you. And I'd say that's something that's maybe unique about how we approach it, is we don't make you memorize prompts.
Yeah. That's smart. That's smart. Like having the AI make the prompts. I think that's absolutely crucial, because I've also seen people just try and jam everything possible into prompts.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And who knows whether the output's consistent or not. And that's really what we're focused on, is a much more curated experience, making the output consistent by handling the prompts on the back end, so you don't have to. Yeah.
And when it comes to AI in the, like, we talked about things that people should do in the B2B environment. What are some of the absolute things that they should not do with AI right now in B2B marketing and sales?
Yeah, I think one of the things they shouldn't do is rely on it completely for factual, like either statistics, search data. One of the limitations that we mentioned with hallucination is sometimes AI can make up fact. There's a famous case of, I think it was a lawyer that submitted a brief that was created by AI.
Yep.
And it was completely made up, like all the cases, and he got penalized for that. So always vetting the sources. And one thing that we do at MarketMate as well to guard against that is we feed the AI sources. So it's like, rather than making up data, look at this research study and determine what are some of the trends in this market, how big is the market, how fast is it growing, who the competitors are. Because marketers, when we're making decisions about should we pursue this vertical market, should we enter it, also have to consider this type of data. So with AI today, you have the ability to process large amounts of data quickly.
Nice.
Even a large language model like Claude, you can upload a 100-page research report and say, summarize the key, answer these research questions. So it's pretty impressive what you can do. It's just a matter of feeding the data and phrasing your questions correctly. For example, there was a professor at Columbia that was like, rather than making ChatGPT illegal, you can't use it at all. He said, I want you guys to think of prompts, and then I want you to grade the output from the AI.
Oh, nice.
And I thought that was a really innovative approach, is human beings still need to have critical thinking.
Yeah.
And a lot of the same fears we had of the dawn of the internet, like people aren't going to do their own critical thinking and research. Now they have to vet the output from the internet. Now with AI, it's going to be a similar thing.
Yeah. The jury's still out on if people are any longer doing critical thinking. It doesn't seem like it to me, like many people. We are a headline regurgitating society. But okay. So, when we think about, okay, we've got marketing, we've got sales. What would you suggest as a general, like, day-to-day workflow using AI together in my marketing plans, in my sales plans on a day-to-day basis? What are, like, the three or four things I absolutely should be doing?
Yeah, I think the first area is really considering your targeting strategy, is do I have the right personas in place to really understand who the decision makers, who the champions are, and then am I messaging to them appropriately across an organization? So in B2B marketing, you might have decisions made in a buying committee. You've got end users, you've got champions, you have someone at the VP level that's actually signing off and purchasing your product or service. So having AI and using it to create buyer personas and also articulate what your value proposition is to each stakeholder across the organization is a key way that you can use AI today to help with your targeting. The second area is really messaging. Is if you are a company, one thing that often happens is as you grow and evolve your brand, you launch new products, new features, people speak about your product differently. You might have customer success speaking about your product one way, product speaking about a different way, marketing speaking about a different way. And what that does is it creates inconsistent messaging. So to avoid that game of telephone and make sure everyone's on the same page, you can use AI to help create that product positioning, to help create the brand architecture. How do we name all of our products consistently? Mm. How do we position our product as different or better than every other substitute out there in the marketplace? And then your value proposition, what are the key benefits and features that support my product differentiation? Having a consistent messaging framework is another area you can use AI. And the third area is really content development. And this is probably the area that gets a lot of attention is once you have an AI model that, you know, now you have your buyer personas, now you have your messaging, now we've got to personalize content. And that's one of the promises of AI is, hey, rather than just sending out a generic message to everyone, I can personalize content for each buyer persona using AI.
Yeah.
And that's the next steps is, hey, if I am making my content calendar, I'm developing content for each stage of the customer journey, top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel. How do I tailor content for each touch point? And that's where you can use AI to tailor it, especially if it's been trained on your audience and your messaging. And then finally, with sales enablement, you have a new sales team or maybe you're hiring new sellers. How do you train them and bring them up to speed on your personas? How do you bring them up to speed on your messaging? How do you develop content or pitches for them or good qualifying questions to ask? You can also use AI for that workflow as well.
Wow. Okay. Great. Great. And within your tool, can you do all of this?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the beauty of it is it's we focus on projects, not just tasks. Hey, rather than write a blog, let's help you think of your entire content strategy.
Nice.
Let's use AI to help you ideate. So we help with the entire workflow marketing.
That's awesome. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Any last tips on using AI? What's one thing that someone should go to ChatGPT right now and do if they're a B2B marketer?
Yeah, I think for B2B marketers, and this is counterintuitive, is don't just use one tool. If you use just ChatGPT, there's other tools out there that are better for different, you know, cloud is better for analyzing large text. They just released this model where you can look at 200 pages of text and they analyze it in minutes. Nice. If you're looking at ChatGPT, it's better for shorter context, short form content and multimodal. You can talk to it now, some of the enterprise versions. But for now, like my biggest advice is, hey, let's have a conversation if you're interested in using AI today. Rather than sorting through that complexity, have a strategic partner like MarketMate to help you really realize the most value out of AI.
Awesome. Awesome. So we'll put a link to MarketMate on there. And where's the best place to follow you, Nathan?
Yeah, connect with me on LinkedIn, Nathan Schlafer. And we also have a page where we're always publishing content on the latest trend in AI and marketing. Really want to continue the conversation and so grateful that you had on the Garlic Marketing Show.
Oh, awesome. Glad we finally made it happen. We had some technical issues, but we made it happen. Nathan, thanks so much for being on the Garlic Marketing Show.
Thank you for having me, Ian. And have a great holiday.
You too. And thank you all for taking Nathan and I on your journey. Make sure to go check out his website. And customer stories are absolutely crucial. So also go to videocasestory.com so we can help you collect and craft those customer stories. All right. Thank you for taking us on your journey. It's been Ian Garlic and the Garlic Marketing Show.
Video. You know it'll make you an authority. You know it will get you more leads. Better leads that close faster and spend more with you. And video stories will help you be remembered and connect with those perfect clients. The problem is, where do you start? Storycruise.com is the place to go. It's like a film crew with an S. What's your strategy? Do you do it yourself? Do you hire a videographer, an agency? Do you need an editor? How do you know if they really know your business and how to make videos for business that work? The answer to all of this and more can be found at storycruise.com. It is the place to find the latest video marketing strategies, the best gear for your business, as well as videographers, editors, and agencies near you that are trained in video storytelling for business. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get special insider info for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show, including special access to several of my courses, including my case story course. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get a whole bunch of special offers just for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show. Whether you're looking for a videographer or to do it yourself, go to storycruise.com/garlic to get started today.
That's it for the Garlic Marketing Show. If you want to get the inside scoop and the latest techniques, make sure to follow Ian Garlic on Facebook.